Baseball family, welcome to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. Today we are going to announce that baseball has confirmed the rules for the 2021 season. We are going to get into some Easter eggs in pop culture and also announce the winner of our contest from last week. 9plusUS presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together. Welcome back, baseball family. We're really jazzed that you're here with us today. We've got Blackjack Brad in the house.
I'm here with my jazz hands. I'm so jazzed.
Jazz hands. You spent too much time in Utah. All right. Baseball family, we got some current events we want to bring to you today. Trevor Bauer is officially off the market. Some of you are very, very sad. In fact, I think the majority of baseball dumb is a little bit upset about this. Brad, how are you feeling about him signing with the Dodgers? Well, before you answer, let's give the people the details. It's a 3-year deal, $102 million with player options. Get ready for this. He can opt out at 2021 season and after the 2022 season as well.
Well, I mean, he got what he wanted. He wanted to be the highest.
Him and Rachel both.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. She's a relatively new agent in baseball, right? So yeah, she was wanting to make a splashy signing with a free agent. And, man, she got it. She picked her guy and she got it. Called her shot on it. So it's not just $105 million. So this is actually like kind of like tiered. Like, this season, the 2021 season, he's going to make $40 million. If he opts in for the 2022 season, then he's going to make $45 million, and then after that, it'll be 17 if he opts in that third season. So I don't know if he necessarily will, if he's still pitching a high level, he will opt out and go get more money somewhere else, I'm sure. But he's going to be the highest paid pitcher in baseball, and that's what they're going for. He's making more money than Gerrit Cole this season, and that's what they're going for. Congratulations, Trevor Bauer and Rachel Luba. You did it.
For real, congratulations. Now, is it true that the Mets offered them even more money?
Yeah, so I saw a couple things. Like, there was one I saw that they offered him about $3 million more. There's another one that was, it was like $8 million more, because I think I saw one that was like around $110 million. With a similar kind of structure over the same amount of time. But, I mean, he's an L.A. kid.
Yeah.
You know, he went to UCLA. He grew up in L.A. So I don't blame him for wanting to go home.
Nope. Not with the margin like that. I don't blame him either.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Congratulations. I think everybody but Major League Baseball, if you don't count the Dodgers, everybody else got hosed on this deal. But those three parties are very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four. Trevor Bauer, the L.A. Dodgers, Rachel Luba, and the fan base of L.A. I think those people are very happy. Everybody else is a little bit upset. But that's okay. That's how this game is played.
Well, and I mean, the rest of Major League Baseball should be upset, because look at that starting pitching staff now.
That's what I'm saying.
Walker Buehler, Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, who is kind of on the backside of his career, but he's still an incredible regular season pitcher. And then you've got May coming in, who hits like 102, 103 on the gun. Like, and here's the thing. Dustin May is still incredibly young, a little wild, but I think once he gets things honed in, he's a really good pitcher. He's really very good. So that might just be the most dominant pitching staff in the game right now.
It's going to be tough to beat no matter what. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with you. Moving on, though, Yadi Molina re-signs with the Cards for 1 year, $9 million. That, to me, is the most no-brainer deal ever.
You would think so, but it took a while for him to sign it, and I think part of it was because of his age. You know, he's getting up there, and he went down and he played in the Caribbean Series this winter, and I think they saw that the way he was able to play there, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's got another year in him. So I think that's why they brought him back.
Yeah, I agree. But clubhouse guy, lots of leadership, tons of experience. I mean, come on, this guy is the guy. He's the man.
Yeah, yeah, for a
long
time.
Has been forever, so big franchise name, yeah. For a lot of reasons, this took way longer than it should have.
I agree. Yeah, they should have done that a long time ago, for sure.
It almost was disrespectful to Yadi. I mean, I know it's a business, but I mean, there's a certain level of loyalty that you would have expected. And I think that the delay in making this deal happen kind of nods that direction for me. Does that do that for you?
It kind of does. I mean, we've talked about how before about how the Cardinals are just super conservative and they're not going to want to give a guy like Yachty a catcher. He's what, 36, I think? 36, 37, mm-hmm. something like that?
37, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to give a catcher at that age, especially with the amount of innings that are on those knees. Like, I wouldn't want to give him more than a year either.
Sure.
And
I'm just saying, why are we waiting until February?
I think they wanted to see where he was at, physically. And like I said, a catcher with that many innings on his knees, I don't know if you want to be giving him more than a couple million dollars or even more than a year. And if you're bringing a guy in just for the clubhouse presence, you're not going to want to pay him a whole lot more than the veteran's minimum.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So, I'm just saying it took too long to get it done. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it does feel like a no-brainer because of who he is, but I think given the circumstances at his, I should say, quote-unquote advanced age, because he's only a couple years older than I am, but
right.
I think they wanted to put in an evaluation period to see where he was at physically to really decide how much they wanted to pay him, right?
Speaking of evaluation periods, the Angels have signed Shohei Ohtani to another two-year, $8.5 million deal and avoided arbitration in doing so. Do you think, I mean, with this, they clearly have seen something that the public is not aware of.
I think we've all seen it. I mean, when he plays, he's really, really good. I don't know that he'll be pitching anymore after his second Tommy John because he could be more valuable to them in the outfield because the dude can hit.
With his bat. Yeah.
The dude can hit and he can run, and your elbow has very little to do with both of those, especially his right elbow.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be just fine at the plate. He hit when he needed to get Tommy John surgery still.
He played through it.
I mean, even if it comes down to Albert Pujols retiring after next year, the year after, whatever, they have him under contract and they can keep him as a DH if that's what it comes to, because that's a bat that you want in your lineup. And the dude is fast. He is he can burn around the bases. He's got long, smooth strides and he cooks. Yeah. So I think he's a guy you want in that lineup. And quite frankly, I think they got a pretty good deal on him at 2 years, 8.5, because I mean, a guy of that caliber for the rest of the league, who's got maybe a couple more years and you know what his elbow is like, he's going for more than that. It's just that he hasn't played a full season yet. And that's why they're in the situation that they're in.
Yep. And that's the point I would make as well. Taking it from Ohtani's side, he's probably pretty grateful to have a deal like this, right? And to avoid arbitration and things like that. Because at the arbitration table, they could say, hey, come on, we haven't seen anything. You know, we've seen very little.
Yeah.
They could play hard, real hard, and it could get really ugly. You know, so I think everybody wins.
Yeah, I agree.
In this situation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the Grapefruit League, this is where I hope to be heading in the next couple of weeks. They're doing, they're going to organize into pods, right? So we've got the Florida West Coast versus the Florida East Coast sort of in their own little bubbles. And, I will be in the West if I go down. I mean, I'm going down. Getting tickets is already proven a little bit squishy.
Oh, really? Already? I haven't even looked.
Yeah. Well, I can't even figure out how to do it. So I have friends down there. I'm thinking, come on, be local. Come on. Because I can't figure out how to get tickets, right? And now, granted, I haven't looked in the last handful of days. But when I did look a few days ago, I could not figure out how to buy tickets. So
interesting.
You might be in a similar position as me. Maybe they've just been waiting for the green light on some level. I don't know. But I just, it's just proven much more difficult than I think it usually is.
Yeah, and I think that we could expect that just because of the limited capacity of the stands, and it's so weird this year, you know? Like, there's so much just weirdness going on that, I don't know, I kind of expected it to be hard to get tickets, but at the same time, I figured for locals it would be a little bit easier, so that's why I haven't really looked into it, because I'm local. My home stadium is the Peoria Sports Complex, and I figured you have friends down in Florida, and them being local, it'd be easy for them to get tickets. But the fact that it's a little bit squishy, like you said, for them getting tickets, I might need to start looking into it.
You should, because they're at 25% capacity is what they've said the seating arrangements will be.
So I actually pulled up the Peoria Sports Complex website. It says, at this time, 2021 spring training on sale dates have not been determined.
See?
So it's funny because you can pull up a game schedule. You know what day guys are playing, at least what team.
Exactly.
What day they're starting.
Try and buy a ticket.
But maybe they just don't have an official seating chart and capacity. I don't know.
No. Other than the announcement that they're going to stay around 25% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I need five tickets. Four. I need four for sure. So
I need one for sure.
I just want to
go. So it shouldn't be too hard.
I just want to go to one game. I just want to go to one. Yeah. Oh, man.
I know.
Anyway.
I know. I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad that we got into spring training last year when we did. Because we got in the beginning of March, we came home, and then after that was when everything got shut down. They shut down spring training. They shut down the NBA. It all just was shuttered right after we got back from spring training. So I'm really glad we got in when we did, or I'd be really, really be jonesing for a game.
For real. Well, and that's where I am. I never needed baseball so bad as I needed it last year.
Yep.
So now I need it real bad. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right, let's move on past that. If baseball family, if you have any insights into how to get spring training tickets, will you drop us a line and let us know? Also, if you're in the Peoria, Arizona area, or if you're in the Sarasota Springs area, let us know. And we want to link up when we're at the games. So do that as well.
For sure.
All right. The MLB has decided that they're going to deaden the ball this year. Now, we've talked a lot about juiced baseballs, and we've talked a lot about the benefits and drawbacks of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably don't need to get into it. But the way they're going to deaden the ball is by loosening the tension on the first three wool windings within the ball, at the core of the ball. Now, that's a pretty smart way to go about it. I mean, I'm not like a structural engineer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure that's the profession you'd go into to construct a baseball. But I pulled it out, so go with me. Brad, do you think this is a good move or a bad move? Let's just start there.
I know it'll make pitchers happy. It'll make about 10% of batters happy. Because there are guys who are like typically slap hitters who I'm sure were flying out on line drives that should have dropped for base hits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if the baseballs were indeed juiced. I think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to watch this year. Pitchers are going to lose velocity on their fastball, so maybe stuff isn't going to be coming in at 100, 305 anymore. Maybe guys are going to drop down to about 100, 102, 103, whatever.
Yeah.
So it'll be more hittable. I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make, because a lot of those home runs that guys are hitting are really, really flying out of the ballpark.
Yeah, they're getting out.
Hitters are bigger and stronger than they've ever been. And that's saying something, I feel like, given we had the steroid era, because it's you don't have the top heavy, right? Like guys were literally top heavy, but then also Major League Baseball, like the strong, like the power hitters, it was really top heavy. But now the power is distributed because everybody knows how to hit home runs. Everybody's swinging for the fence. And if the baseballs were indeed juiced, then we're going to get doubles off the wall or home runs in the first and second rows of the stands instead of the 10th and 15th.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's something to keep an eye on this year. Keep an eye on the number of balls hit to the warning track that are really close.
So my brain immediately goes to a handful of names that have experienced tremendous breakout success in the last couple of years and may see a flat line, I guess, in their game at the at the plate specifically. Do you have any names that come to mind immediately? I'm thinking DJ LeMahieu, like, only because I worry about it. But I think he's skilled enough to not bother him. I just wonder. Luke Voit's another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just being a Yankees fan, I think, well, okay, what is actually happening? How much is the juice baseball, you know, a factor here?
Mm-hmm.
And there are other guys around the league with the same, you know, I mean, we could go on and list it, but.
You know who it's going to be interesting? It's going to be interesting this year to watch the Astros in a complete season. Because there are guys on that team. I mean, George Springer is gone. Okay, he's in Toronto, but there are other guys on that team. Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. Those guys hit a lot of home runs between the three of them. And this year, not knowing what pitch is coming and not having a juiced baseball, how will those guys fare in this season? It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Because Jose Altuve, his bat is literally half his height. I mean, he gets so much leverage swinging that thing, and then you get a juice baseball out there, if that's the case, then it's really going to go. But if you deaden that ball even a little bit, it's going to take away quite a bit of the force from that leverage. So,
yep.
I don't know, man. Keep an eye on those guys. See what the Astros do.
Yeah. No, that is really insightful. For those of you watching on YouTube, I just got a little hot and bothered. So, feeling pretty good here, Brad. Thanks for taking me there. All right, so the rules have been confirmed. Extra rules, right? The funky rules have been confirmed for the 2021 season. We will be having 7-inning doubleheaders again. There will not be. Now hear this: there will not be a universal DH. Praise be, and also. Against all odds, there will still be a runner on second in extras.
Well, that's because that's Rob Manfred's favorite rule.
It is.
He loves that rule. He would, because he doesn't know anything about baseball.
Correct, but, sir.
I'm fine. I'm fine with the 7-inning doubleheaders.
Me too.
That was kind of a nice little thing. It did throw me off. Like I said, it threw me off a few times. Listening to a game, you get to the sixth inning, like, here we go to the last inning. It's like, oh, shoot. Man, I thought I had time. But, no, I think that'll be fine. I'm not worried about the 7-inning doubleheaders. The no universal DH, I was a little bit bummed for guys like Marcell Ozuna. And I think Nelson Cruz signed this week, and I think he saw the writing on the wall that it wasn't going to be a thing. So he went back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I just like the opportunity for guys to – be able to go to the National League to extend their career, to like not necessarily like, well, I got to make that American League move, getting to be the end, you know. I like that option for guys. I have no problem.
Ultimately, I'm just really glad that you're wrong. So we have things to argue about. I feel the same way mostly. I think the runner on second is abysmal. Universal DH is just almost as absurd. Almost. And then the seven inning doubleheaders makes absolute sense to me. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, but
before we do, do you want to announce our winner?
Yeah. So last week, some shenanigans went down. For those of you who didn't hear it, you should go back and listen just because it's fun. But we announced a giveaway. And Alexander Trout is the winner of our sweepstakes. He successfully guessed the name of the film that I quoted, which was obscure and also very important to me and everyone else. I mean, have you not seen that flick? I mean, it was, for those of you who didn't know, it was Hook. Hook.
Fantastic movie.
Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman and... Yeah. A whole host of other people. It's a tremendous film. It's like defining of our childhoods, right, Brad? That's part of what we love.
Absolutely.
So much.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Anyway, Alexander Trout won. We've already been in contact. He's already selected his winnings, and they're already on the way. So, whew. It's very exciting.
Excellent.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to get into some more stuff that has to do with baseball.
I'm Jason.
And I'm David, and we're the hosts of the Non-Network Sports Podcast. We're the home of sports talk for everyone. Join us bi-weekly as we talk about the happenings in sports.
You can find the Non-Network Sports Podcast on anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we thought it would be fun to do something today. It's actually inspired by something Briggs said a while ago. It was an Easter egg. It's a baseball Easter egg in a movie. It was actually in the Matrix. What was it? They take the elevator to floor number 42. Is that what it was, mm-hmm. Brig?
Yep.
So,
well, that was a, was that, didn't you quiz me on that? Wasn't that a trivia thing you stumped me on?
No, you quizzed me on it.
Oh,
stumped me, because I didn't know.
Because you kept stumping me. That's what it was.
And you saw the opportunity. You took it, and that's fine. That's fine. I'll allow it this one time. But so I thought it would actually be fun to see if we could find some more Easter eggs that we could share with you that are pretty fun. Some of them are like really in-depth and deep. Others are really superficial at the surface. But we have four each. We have eight total that we thought that we would share with you guys. Obviously, there is like a million out there that we could go in-depth with. But this is where we wanted to go with today. So, Brig, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
All right. Thank you, Brad. Hi, I'm Brig. And my my first Easter egg is from Supernatural, the television show Supernatural. In season 5, Dean Winchester goes by, you know, they're always changing their names when they travel. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but they always are going by these aliases. And Dean's character goes by the name of Detective Bill Buckner in season 5.
For those who don't know, who was Bill Buckner, Brig?
Okay, Bill Buckner pitched for the Red Sox, and didn't he pitch for the Cubs for a little while as well?
Well, anyway. So there were two Bill Buckners, actually. I want to say there was one who pitched for the Cubs, but the Bill Buckner that immediately comes to mind for me was the first baseman for the Red Sox.
That's what I'm talking about, yep.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if you, maybe we should put a link to the doobly-doo in the show notes about Bill Buckner's World Series error.
Yes, we will do that. For those of you who don't know, you can watch the ball go off the pebble.
You know, what's funny about that is that he said leading up to that game that all he told himself all season long was, man, just don't let it go this way. And for sure, of course, because that's what he's hyper-focused on. That's what freaking happened in the biggest moment ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It brings me visceral joy. Yeah, so much. Just, I wasn't even there. I wasn't even alive.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, a couple of years. Okay. So I have two things about actually that specific moment about Bill Buckner. So one, Dan Patrick talks about being at the game. I believe he was working for CNN at the time, and he was down in the tunnel waiting for the Red Sox to come. He's like, Red Sox are going to win the World Series. I'll go get my interviews, whatever.
Yeah.
Then he said that he heard a roar and another roar, and then he heard that the Mets won, and he's like, oh, the Mets just won the World Series. You know, they had one more game to play, but he said, yep, the Mets just won the World Series. But the thing he said to his credit, he said, Bill Buckner came and he answered all the questions. He took it like a man. He just said, yep,
should have made a play. Yeah, that's right.
He faced it, and he did not leave and answered all the questions that were sent his way. The other one that is actually like really funny. So I love the movie Little Big League. It's like my rookie of the year. So funny. And Billy Haywood, the kid who's the manager, he's talking to his third baseman who let a ball go between his legs in the big game at the end of the movie. And he's like, you know, same thing happened to Bill Buckner. Ball hit a pebble, went right between his legs. And then you know what happened? He's like, what? And he goes, he stepped up to the plate, his next at bat, and ripped a game-winning double. He's like, he did? He's like, he sure did. So he goes up there all confident, rips a single, and the pitching coach comes over, and he goes, hey, kid, don't mean to break it to you at this time, but the ball off the pebble ended the game. He goes, I know that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the ignorance that pays off sometimes, but I thought it was a good little moment. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's terrific. So. All right, Brad, hit us with one of your Easter eggs.
Okay, in my house, we have a four-year-old. I have a four-year-old girl who loves the movie Moana. Mostly she just loves the music from Moana. We have to listen to it every time we're in the car. But the song Shiny, which is sung by Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords, that's a terrible New Zealand accent. Anyways.
I loved it.
But so I love the song Shiny, but there's one part where he's like digging on Maui when he gets his hook back, and he says, you don't swing it like you used to, man. Which I thought was a pretty cool little reference, because What is it they say about a slugger who is not a slugger anymore? He doesn't swing it like he used to.
Bingo.
And I thought that was a pretty cool little Easter egg in that song that has so many, so many good references throughout. But that was the one in particular that I really liked. It was just a little one, but it was good. I liked it.
That's awesome. All right, I've got another one. Most people don't know this, but Iron Man is a baseball fan.
Yes, he is.
He's a baseball fan. It's a big deal. So let me read from my notes. In the graphic novel, The Five Nightmares, this is written by Matt Fraction. Tony Stark travels to the Congo. He's obviously rooting out evil. That's his thing. And a satellite communication intercept shows that the superhero a few things like, kind of like a PowerPoint presentation. And there are a couple of things going on in the newsflash, this PowerPoint presentation. One of them is that Josh Beckett has a no-no bid through 8 innings, to which the graphic novel reads, not to jinx anything. Like, the actual text in the graphic novel says, not to jinx anything.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a real deep cut.
It's real deep. It's pretty obscure, but it's ironclad evidence that Iron Man's a big baseball fan. Big. Yeah. So, got them unwritten rules and everything.
Very good. I like that one.
Yeah, man.
Love me some Iron Man, too. Really big into the Marvel movies. So, yeah. Thanks to Iron Man. Okay. Let's see. Let's go with another real quick one here. Another thing that I'm a big nerd about. I've talked about Star Wars. I just submitted my nerddom into Marvel movies. I'm kind of a video game nerd. I like to play the Assassin's Creed games. Well, the one that came out this last year was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It takes place during the Viking Age. Whenever that was, in the Dark Ages, I don't know exactly. I haven't played it yet. But anywho, Cody Bellinger actually has a cameo in the game. Like, it's not just like they brought in somebody who looks like him. They brought him into the studio, put the little dots on his face, had him like do the motion capture, everything. And his name is Otta Slugason. Almost like Attaboy. Slugson. I don't know. I don't feel like they tried too hard.
Yeah.
They definitely made the baseball reference really thick and heavy on there. But you like I haven't played the game, so I don't know exactly what it is. But it looks like there's some version of a home run derby where you use a weapon to hit rocks. Over like
oh
a fence
wow
or like that.
So, that's fantastic.
So I don't know where he is, don't know how to find him, but Cody Bellinger is in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Yes,
wow. And for those of you who don't play the Assassin's Creed games, they're open world sort of choose your own adventure role-playing games, right?
Yeah they're,
so you have to find stuff, like
it's
a big
you have to
fat treasure
stuff.
Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big fat treasure hunt. Great big open world. I don't know, I think they're fun because they're also like adventure games. So I like adventure stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's cool. Good. That's a great one. That's a great one. Okay. I am going to go next in 51st Dates. Adam Sandler's character, Henry, he makes a video for Drew Barrymore's character, Lucy. And in the video of like the most important things ever, right? The things that she needs to remember and be aware of includes Aaron Boone's home run.
It's such a funny moment because I remember when that movie came out, I saw it in the theater, like its first week and it came out in summer 2004 and that home run was from 2003, right? I want to make
Three,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he says right before that, he says the Red Sox won the World Series because it shows them celebrating after a big, after one of the wins in that series. And then he shows the home run and says, just kidding, the Yankees won.
Well, okay, that's even funnier because, so Adam Sandler's an enormous Yankees fan. Enormous.
Yes, he is.
And Drew Barrymore's a big old fatty fat Red Sox fan.
I didn't know that. I forgot that she's a Red Sox fan. That's really funny.
She's a Red Sox fan. Oh, so that's actually like one layer deeper. That's so funny.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That makes it even better.
The Red Sox won the World Series. Just kidding. Here's Aaron Boone going yard.
Well, and then, and yeah, I mean, and great. That was, and then 2004, the year that movie came out, that was the year that the Red Sox did win the World Series finally. You know, they came back from 3-0 over against the Yankees. And a little bit of salt for that wound there, Brig.
And Thanks, man. I was really happy just a minute ago. I was feeling great. Now I'm weeping. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, no, that's a good one. I like that one a lot. I've always thought that was really funny. I remember, like I said, I saw the movie in the theater, and I was legitimately the only person in the theater laughing at that because I thought it was so funny.
Nobody else got it.
And
yeah.
No, yeah, nobody else got it. Like, get it? Because, yeah, well, okay. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Brad, why don't you hit us with your last Easter egg?
All right, my last Easter egg.
Oh, no, you have two more. No, you have two more.
Oh, I do. I do. Okay.
Yeah, you have two more. Yeah.
They're both from sitcoms. Let's go Seinfeld.
Okay.
Let's go with Seinfeld. Okay. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. I love that show. Didn't watch it a whole lot growing up. I got into it a little bit older. So this is actually a joke that I feel like I appreciated a little bit better since I was older. The Costanzas always reference the Jay Buhner trade from the Yankees. They always talk about how they traded away Jay Buhner, and I can't remember. And they always give the trade. I have to look at it real quick because I can't remember off the top of my head. Let's see here. Traded for. Let's see, who was it? Traded by the Yankees with a player to be named later, and Rick Balaban to the Mariners for Ken Phelps.
To Toronto.
To the Mariners. They traded Buhner from New York to Seattle.
Because he started Phelps. With... Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so they always talk about how Ken Phelps was nothing. He amounted to nothing. But then Jay Buhner's out there hitting, you know, 20 home runs a year and driving in 100 runs.
Yeah.
And but it's always like, it's always the classic Costanza build, you know?
Yeah.
Had to trade away Jay Buhner. You know,
you're right.
I'm like, yeah, he did. Yeah, they traded away Jay Buhner. That's right. That's right.
Well, he was an all-star in 96, and he was 95, 40 home runs, 96, 44 home runs, 97, 40 home runs. So that would have been about when Seinfeld was in its heyday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes even more sense. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's one that I like a lot. It's the and there obviously there's tons of baseball references on there because Jerry Seinfeld's a big baseball fan and George Costanza ends up working for the Yankees.
Yeah.
But so they're littered all over the place. But that's the one in particular that I love from Seinfeld is the Jay Buhner reference.
That's freaking funny.
Yeah, it's
I love it. All right, my last one is it's just terrific. It's from Back to the Future 2. Obviously, for those of you that don't know, I should say, Marty McFly goes to the future this time, and he ends up in 2015. And what they learned is that the Cubs won the Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh. The World Series. The Cubs won the World Series in 2015 against some team from Miami. And he's like, what? Because in 1989, when the movie was released, there was no team in Miami.
Yeah.
Was that 92 or 3 or something like that?
I think it was pretty close after the first one, right? So it would have been in the late 80s?
No. When did the Marlins become a team?
Oh, that was 93.
Okay, so 93, yeah. And then the Cubs actually did win in 2016, one year after the film predicted it, which is crazy.
You know, it would have been really crazy if they had beaten the Marlins to go to the World Series that year.
Oh, man.
Like, whoa. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
But yeah, because that movie was released in 1989.
Right.
So that makes it, like, even more bonkers that it was 16 years in advance. The fact they're only off by a year for a team that has competed for a World Series, but also been, I guess, quote-unquote, statistically due to win a World Series, you know, went that long, that they are only off by a year with that much. That's crazy to me. And then the fact that they got the city in Florida right, that got the first city in Florida to get a baseball team.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, maybe it was written by time travelers. I don't know.
Well, you never know. I mean, I'm convinced that certain movies are just telling us what people don't want us to know. And they're like, it's fiction. that can't possibly be real.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too, is they know what would happen if they had revealed that information to us, right? If they were actual time travelers and they're like, you know, the Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2016. You know, maybe we shouldn't do that so we don't get a Biff situation.
Mm.
You know, because they know.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. They know what would happen if somebody had that information.
Well, so. Biff is a great example.
Yep.
Exactly. Let me take off my nerd hat for a minute and ask you to my tinfoil hat is what I meant.
I fixed my glasses.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Brad, you're up. You got the last one.
Okay, I have my last one here. This is a good one. I thought this was fun. One of my favorite sitcoms ever is Parks and Recreation. It's very well written. Of the two mockumentary sitcoms, I actually prefer Parks and Recreation to The Office. That's not saying I don't like The Office. I love The Office. But I feel like Parks and Recreation is the superior sitcom. You can dispute that with me if you would like on Twitter or in the mailbag. Either way, the choice is yours.
Okay. I will. Let me get my phone, sir.
Okay. So.
You just wait.
So there's a reference to a law office. The law offices of Bay Pip, Bakota, Vorp, and Eckstein. Okay. Now, for the people who are actually like really familiar with this show, I knew that the writers and creators of this show were big baseball fans, but I had forgotten that they managed the old blog Fire Joe Morgan. Okay, like I totally forgot about that. Yeah. But I didn't realize that these guys are like not just like baseball fans, but baseball nerds, straight up baseball nerds. So those are all references to baseball sabermetrics. Okay. We've got Bay Pip, looking it up right now because I accidentally closed my browser window.
What?
I know. I have to close it in order for stuff to work. Okay. So Bay Pip or Bat Pip, I don't know, is batting average on balls in play. Vorp is, to me, it seems like a fancy way to say war, value over replacement player. And then we've got Bakota. Does that sound right, Brig, to you?
Yes.
And I'm not finding it. Something else is showing up. Where'd it go?
Wasn't it
I can't. Dang it. Oh, Bakota. Right?
It was a player after...
Player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm.
That's there you go.
So it's Pecota.
Pecota. Right. So and that's the one, that's the evaluation one.
T-A. Yeah. And what that does is that projects players in the future. And I had always wondered how teams would project guys and like pay them and stuff like that. And that is what they use. They use Pecota as a stat to project where they think guys will be. In the next 4 or 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But since this was a really heavy stat heavy blog, then they knew all these stats. And so they used it as part of a law office, and they would use those stats to also really rag on like below average MLB players who were getting a lot of attention. And one of those guys happened to be David Eckstein, which is where the Eckstein comes from in that law office. And it's funny because he's my wife's favorite player.
Huh. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's true. Yeah, because he was on that 2001 or 2002 World Series winning team.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, and he was a big contributor, and she thinks he's just so cute. And I think it's just because he's little, and I think it's funny. But a lot of people say, gosh, he was just terrible, but he was just so good in that World Series. Flash in the pan. But yeah, I thought that was funny.
Well, let's put it to bed right now. His war is 20.9. He's a two-time All-Star. Got two World Series. World Series MVP. That's the one they're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the guy.
10 years in the major leagues, we're looking at let's do this. Let's talk about his batting average. 280 over 10 years.
It's not bad.
And it's not bad. It's respectable. OBP, 345. Slugging, 355. OPS, 701.
Yeah, see, that And that's the thing is he's a guy who choked halfway up the bat because he was so little. And so he's not going to have a slugging. He's not going to have a good OPS. And I think that's why they're like, yeah, he's not good.
Right. But, well,
I mean, I guess if he, at the time, if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's only 5'6". So he's Jose Altuve before Jose Altuve was Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're right.
Did not have the power.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
there you go.
That was a
figured we'd
a
get
really
nerdy
reference
for a minute.
Though.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Eckstein is in there. I think that's absolutely hilarious.
Yep. Of all the major league players I could have chosen, they went with David Eckstein.
For real.
But anyway, before we get out of here, before Brig wraps it up, we talked about our giveaway with the movie quote last time, but let's talk about our Rays giveaway real quick, Brig. I've been sipping on my Rays today. I've got my Galaxy Burst. It is delicious. This might be my new favorite. This is really good.
Bro, that's my favorite one.
I know it is, and I was been all about the voodoo, but then I popped this open today, and I was like, you know what? This is the one. It's really good.
Yes!
But what we're doing is... Just drop us a line in the mailbag. Just go to baseballtogether.com, click submit to the mailbag, and send us an email. It can be baseball related. It can be personal. We have one already that's just about us, not so much about baseball or the podcast, just about us. We'll get to it when the time comes. But just drop us a line in the mailbag, and you will be entered to win a Rays sampler pack. If you don't want to enter to win a Rays sampler pack, go to repsports.com and enter code BTPOD at checkout to get 15% off. Your stuff there. So trying to hook you guys up. We want to do this giveaway. Like I said, we're going to give away a Rays sampler pack that has a few cans of Rays, some on the go packs, pre-workout, and a little sleep aid for you.
Yep. Don't forget to jump on the shop as well. Baseball family at 9plusus.com. That's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. We're always dropping new stuff and discounts. Like, I mean, I went crazy with the discount last time, so I hope you jumped all over that and got a chance to take advantage of the deals. The best way, honestly, to get ahead of these deals is to get on the Facebook group, the 9 Plus Us VIPs Facebook group. It's a private group, but it's not pay to play. It's free. We just want more open-minded baseball people in our life, and so we invite you to join that group. Go to the 9 Plus Us page on Facebook if you'd like, and then search for the groups tab. It'll take you right to it, and then we'll let you in. We'd love that.
For sure we would. Absolutely. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Let us know what you think. And guess what? We're on TikTok now. If you're on TikTok, go give us a follow. Baseball Together, just like Twitter, baseball the number together. We're having a lot of fun making content for that. We're loading it up. Go check it out. I don't know. Maybe we'll run a special discount on TikTok one of these days. What do you think, Brig?
Yeah.
Right. We'll do it.
The most.
Go hit us up. But with that, nice and short this week for you, baseball family, and we will catch you next week.